Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A month ago, I did a live stream on my Sargon channel saying, look, basically everyone's beginning to fall into line. And I called it. Everyone is literally bowing at the throne of the great golden god emperor Donald Trump. And the BBC have recognized this. They've noticed, hang on, everyone is just, I mean, literally coming to pay fealty and homage at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. And I just thought we'd read through some of this. Just a nice victory lap, to be honest, for anyone who supports Trump. I'm a massive Trump supporter. And I just wanted to go through this because it was fun. And it's nice that the BBC just have to be like, yeah, grinding their teeth. Isn't like, everyone loves Donald Trump now. Yeah, you're angry, and that's great. So they tell us that Monday, so when you're watching this about a week ago, week and a half ago, during his first press conference since winning the US election in November, Trump appeared to revel in the breadth of his support. The first term was everyone fighting me. This term, everyone wants to be my friend. It's like, yeah, that's true. Because they thought they could defeat Trump, and Trump has beaten them all. Right, yeah. Trump has beaten everyone, and they know it, and they've come to terms with it, and they're like, yeah, okay, he's in charge. We will accept our position in the hierarchy beneath Donald Trump. That's superb. That is just spectacular. In just the past few weeks, many of the president-elect's former critics and adversaries have made overtures. Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Mark Zuckerberg of Meta, Sam Altman of OpenAI have pledged million-dollar donations to Trump's inauguration festivities. Great. Like, this is literally like the, you know, Caesar coming back. And again, I wasn't over-egging it at all. This is literally like Caesar coming back into Rome and all of the aristocracy being like, okay, fair enough.
I hope it isn't this, because in about a year, that would mean something bad.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't end up getting Caesared. But the point being, they're all recognizing, yeah, no, he's won. He's beaten us fair and square, even after 2020. And we just accept. We concede, essentially. We concede that Trump is the guy in charge. TikTok's CEO Xiao Zichu met Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And Trump was planning to ban TikTok. And now he currently opposes the ban because, of course, Trump is very much a friend-enemy guy. Yeah. If you are a good, hearty friend of Trump's, you're brilliant. Come into the club. If you're not Trump's friend, then you're the enemy. And so... Prior, he wasn't a fan of TikTok. Now TikTok's his top platform. TikTok's fine. But apparently, I can't remember if they're actually going to ban TikTok, but the BBC are telling us the ban is scheduled to go into effect before Trump is sworn into office. So that must be fairly soon then.
Well, I mean, he could revoke it.
Of course he could.
So I don't see the point of
it. Yeah, it's I don't think it's going to be a problem, but like, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to ban TikTok either.
I'm not a massive fan.
Also. No, I'm not a fan, but I just think it's interesting how the dynamics have reversed, right? Yeah. Biden's on the outside. Biden's regime and everyone connected to it is on the outside, crushed, completely defeated. All of the recognition of legitimacy and the sort of grace that the society gives, it's funding to Trump now rather than to Biden. And Biden's like team and the structure around Biden is not used to that. They normally were able to tap into everything. You know, we're woke progressives. Great. Here's every corporation under the sun. Here's all the media. Here's all the institutions. They're all on your side. And now they're all coming and paying literal homage to Donald Trump, bending the knee and saying, what is your will, my lord? Trump must be pretty bloody happy with himself.
I mean, they have to.
Yeah, I know they have to. Well, they don't have to. That's the thing. In 2017, they didn't, right? It was nonstop war when Trump came in, and they were at war with him, just constant, total war, and Trump won. And so now they're just like, okay, well,
life has to go on, though.
Well, I would say so, too. But, I mean, apparently Hitler has just been elected to the presidency of the United States. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's literally like, no, he's Hitler. And everyone's like, okay, well, I'm going to go bend the knee to Hitler then. It's just like, well, either he's not Hitler and you were lying, or actually these guys are just secret Nazis. Google head Sundar Pichai is also planning to have a meeting with Donald Trump. So literally all of the platforms he was banned from are coming. I mean, you know, Elon taking over Twitter, was great, and obviously that's flipped that all of the social media platforms that banned him for trying to overthrow democracy are now coming and bending the knee to him. Like, the scale of this victory is just superb. It's genuinely like Lord of the Rings-esque, this sort of, you know, gargantuan win. I absolutely love it, man. Trump appeared on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange to ring the opening bell, and his mark his announcement as Time's Person of the Year last week. Have you seen the cover?
Yeah, see, and I saw that the way they compared Biden and Trump on the front page, and the way that it was covered was the following. When it came to Biden and Harris, I don't remember who he was, I think Biden, he won the election, he was on the cover of Time as Person of the Year. He said he was in the cover of the Time, just like, you know, Gandhi, Martin Luther King. But
this time it's just like Hitler.
This time it was just like Hitler.
Because in like 1938, like Hitler was Time's Person of the Year.
It's easy journalism. They make money.
Oh, it's so lazy. It's so lazy. But the point
it's actually non-journalism. But
yeah, no, it's not. It's just puff piecing. But the point being, again, how much more correct and victorious could Trump have to be? Right, he has conquered not just the institutions, not just the journalists, not just the opposition, but he's conquering the culture. And you've ever seen everyone doing his little dance, and it's like, okay, no, Trump has won everything. I mean, there's just nothing left for him to win at this point, right? Like, what more could he win? And it's, you can tell it's been a long and grueling battle for him as well. You know, this has been, eight years, nearly 10 years, something like that, of him slugging this out with everyone.
Yeah, it is a long battle, but I'm of the opinion that he was planning it way before, for decades, because everyone says that he's very spontaneous, and he is, but I don't think that he doesn't show me that he cannot do also long-term planning. And it seems to me that this was a life goal for him. He spent his whole life creating an image around himself that he weaponized in order to win.
If he wasn't directly planning to become the president, he certainly set himself up in a way that allowed him to leverage it.
Yeah.
You know, so you are completely correct. Anyway, Mark Benioff, head of Salesforce and owner of Time magazine, said, quote, "This marks a time of great promise for our nation." It's like, mate, I thought Hitler had just been elected. Like, what are you... "We look forward to working together to advance American success and prosperity for everyone." Man, they've just changed their tune so much, haven't they? You love to see how turned around they all have to be. It's like, no, we love Donald Trump now. It's like, you didn't 10 minutes ago, you liars. That's one of the things I like about this, the fact that Trump has humbled them all, right?
I think that's precisely what he has done. And his rhetoric was, I'm not going to cooperate with anyone, and I'm not going to form agreements with anyone. And he gives this impression, but what he actually does is he says, no, you're going to come to me and we're going to negotiate.
And Trump now is going to negotiate from a position of utmost strength, as in, I'm the incoming president. I might do something terrible to you. I might start legislating you out of existence. You know, especially, he's won everything. He's got House, Senate, and presidency, and judiciary. Like, they literally have nowhere to go. Like, he could be like, no, I'm literally going to start legislating you out of existence if you don't do what I say. He could say that. He hasn't said that, but like, he could say that. And they can see, they're like, okay, no, we've just lost this battle. We played our hand. We lost everything. And now we're basically powerless and he controls everything. So we've kind of got to do as he says. And they're falling into line. And it's just great to see. And I love watching them eat humble pie, basically. You know, all of these insufferable woke pricks who, like, in fact, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski from MSNBC, who went to Mar-a-Lago to meet with him last month and clearly, again, bent the knee, paid homage, you know, gave their, earth and water to the King of Persia, right? Like, it's so good watching because they were so high-handed. They were so high and mighty. They were so, oh, we're so great. You're racist. You're wrong about everything. And now Trump literally is standing at the top of them, looking down as they're offering up to him their respect, and it's like, deal with it.
We need to watch an episode of The View now to see how they're gonna be like.
Well, we covered it on Ladder, didn't we?
Yeah, but you know, it's fun to see, you know, one month afterwards.
Well, you could see them coping with it. Like, they were like, right, well, this has happened, This has ruined everything. Anyway, so ABC News, which is owned by Disney, announced it was paying Trump $15 million in legal fees to settle a defamation lawsuit related to remarks made in March by presenter George Stephanopoulos. So basically, they were calling him Hitler, and they've got to pay him some money. Again, just everything. Trump just keeps winning everything, and there's just nothing more to win. The BBC tell us in Washington's corridors of power, a similar dynamic seems to be at play. Senate Republicans have been wary of confirming some of Trump's more controversial appointees, such as Fox News host Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense, are falling in line as they face pressure not just from Trump, but from his supporters, who warn dire consequences for the uncooperative. Great. That's brilliant. Dire consequences being getting BTFO'd on Twitter, basically, and people going, "Oh, you prick," when they drive past. But in an American accent. Anyway, even some Democrats are reaching out to the incoming Trump administration, such as John Fetterman, who said he would consider backing Hegseth, and has expressed Trump support for some Trump picks. Because Fetterman was a woke progressive, then he got brain damage and was like, "Oh wait, I don't believe in that anymore." Because what was going on?
I think the biggest revenge Trump can have against the Democrats is if he unites the country and brings a sort of bipartisanship back, because the whole narrative is he's the divider, not Obama.
Yeah.
But I think the truth is the opposite.
I think so,
and
too.
He has the opportunity to do it. I don't know if he will.
And Trump,
I hope he does.
And Trump is a magnanimous guy. I mean, the reason he's accepting the fealty of all of these people is because, no, everyone should be on my team. That's how he believes. And so if someone comes along and goes, "Okay, maybe I will work with you," he'll just bring them straight in because he's an incorporator. You know, he'll be like, "No, this is all mine now. I want everything." And this is why, like, he'll accept Fetterman. He'll accept any of them that come across and bend the knee and say, "Okay, we'll do things your way." You know, and that's good. And another interesting one is Bernie Sanders, which, again, you would think, I mean, Bernie Sanders has been calling Trump Hitler for years now. So suddenly he's like, "Yeah, okay, he might be Hitler, but I like RFK." And again, what's interesting about this, a lot of these guys are ex-Democrats, right? Trump, RFK, they're all Democrats. Tulsi Gabbard, Democratic senator for Hawaii. Like, these, a lot of these guys, or gals, were Democrats who essentially kicked out the Democratic Party for liking America, is essentially what their reason was, for not being woke globalists. And now Trump is the revenge on that. And he's like, "This is great. Get in." And so, yeah, anyway, Bernie Sanders is like, "Yeah, RFK does have a point about America's food," which is poison, by the way, just in case you didn't know. I like America and I like Americans, but I hate traveling to America because you've got to eat American food. And as soon as you start eating it, you start ballooning in weight.
The problem with it is that food has lots of artificial sweeteners and all sorts of poison
corn
inside.
Corn syrup
and
everything.
I've watched, in Las Vegas, there's the heart attack burger.
Oh, isn't it?
There's a 20,000 calories burger that people, if you don't eat, they spank you.
Man, last time I went to America, I went to just some barbecue place, which was lovely, don't get me wrong. And they gave you a plate of food, and it was a fair amount, but it wasn't that much.
I mean, I respect it, though. Right. No, wait, you said it wasn't that much, because what I hate about eating outside is if I pay and they give me a small portion.
Oh.
I just want to take the plate and smash it on a wall.
Well, they don't do that in America. They give you big portions in America.
Okay, good.
The thing is, in America, they've got a habit of not clearing their plate. So that if you don't want it, you just leave it, or they'll give you a bag to take it home. Right? Okay. Obviously, we don't do that in England. In England, it's rude not to clear your plate. It's you know, so you don't give someone too much, and you're expected to eat it all. And so I took that English habit to America. I ate all of this plate, and I guess the Americans are like, "Oh my God, I think I must be really hungry." it must have been like 5,000 or 6,000 calories, because literally a solid day and a half later, I just hadn't felt hungry at all. I just hadn't eaten. I've been full for like nearly 48 hours, and I was like, "This is weird. I've never had this before." Anyway, RFK's right about American food, by the way. That's what I'm trying to get at. They said, and the BBC say, "This time around, such evidence of resistance is difficult to discern." Kentucky Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, the tortoise, they don't say that, I call him that, who's the Senate Majority Leader, criticized Trump in 2021 and offered stern warnings about the dangers of an American First foreign policy. Why? What would be wrong with an America First foreign policy? I mean, it worked last time. peace in the Middle East, peace with North Korea, peace with the Russians, peace through strength is literally what Trump's policy was. And it works, because anyone who knows anything about international relations knows that weakness is provocation. Anyway, Mitch McConnell stepped down. I hate Mitch McConnell. I hate him and Lindsey Graham, man. I hate them. They're disgusting people. But anyway, they stepped down from his leadership position and is unlikely to seek re-election in 2026 because he's 82. And so basically the way is beginning to clear for Trump and his supporters. You've got a dozen congressional Democrats that will skip Trump's inauguration, obviously. But that's only a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, that means a lot of them are going to go, which is interesting. If Trump's kind of nice to them, maybe they'll start.
But also they understand that the narrative was a narrative, and maybe they didn't get high with their own supply.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe they're just like being political realists about it. Yeah. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe he'll do some good stuff. Who knows? You know, maybe we can get some communist stuff passed. Who knows? But anyway, of course, they say, well, Trump, for Trump and his supporters, the party's in full swing. Yeah. And why wouldn't it be? They deserve a victory lap. They've won it all. They've won everything, and they deserve to be proud of themselves. Because, man, the slings and arrows. And this is why I've just been such a big supporter of the MAGA movement. It's because, no, they were right about the basics on everything, right? They should be pro-America. They should be, like, not anti-white people or anti-male or anti, you know, straight or, you know, anti-family. Or no, these are all normal and good things, and it's perfectly fine to be in favor of them. And it's perfectly fine to view your own country with preference, right? That's essentially what MAGA is about. It's the genuine spirit of America.
I think, yeah.
Expressed through the popular base.
Every person I've met from the US and every relative I have living there, they seem to me to be very, you know, cheery and happy.
Yeah, they're great.
And misery just doesn't bode well with them.
No, not at all.
So when someone, a politician, comes and tells them essentially that, you know, all of your worldview needs to be structured around misery, it feels foreign. I just can't see them having it.
Yeah, it's weird that they got so far, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Trump represents, I think, a genuine spirit of Americanism. He, you know, and that's authentic. And, you know, you can call Trump a lot of things, but inauthentic just isn't one of them. You know, not someone who's got he's not like wearing a mask, you know what I mean? And I think that this is appropriate and good for America. I think it's good for countries to be authentically what they are, you know, and to genuinely express the kind of honest spirit of their own nation. And I think the Democrats don't do that. I think they're calculating, ideological, cruel, vindictive, and horrible, and callous, and scheming.
I think they're going to do the same also for the next elections.
Maybe.
I think they're going to do precisely the same.
Entirely possible. But anyway, so that's why I like MAGA so much. And I'm so glad to see them win. And I'm so glad to watch all of his opponents just eat humble pie. It's good. No, yeah, scoff it. Scoff it, losers. I love to see this so much. Because I've got loads of friends who are just, you know, MAGA guys, and I love to see them winning. Because for years, they've basically been under the heel of the Democrats and the vast machinery of administrative left-wing government. And it's so nice for them to overthrow it, you know, to be in a position to overthrow it, at least, anyway. You know, to have actually fought against Sauron and won is so good. I'm loving it. And I'm jealous. I wish we could do the same here, but the British public just isn't having it for some reason. But anyway, so the BBC are like, yeah, well, once Trump takes office, he's going to implement his agenda of mass deportations and trade tariffs. Brilliant. That's so good. But anyway, so, and the best part about this for me is the fact that the journos are crying, and they know.
But they love it. I think they love crying.
I don't know. I think a lot of them are getting a bit depressed, actually. The industry they work in is cratering, right? So tens of thousands of journalists have been laid off in the past decade. And it's because everyone hates them, because they can't be honest, ever. And in fact, I'll do another thing at some point, just going through some of the lies. And not just lies either, right? Like, it's one thing saying, like, an interpretation of an event is, well, it was this, but it was really that, right? It's one thing, but at least you agree an event happened. But the thing about the journalists, especially in America, is they just make up events. that didn't happen. So it's worse than a lie. You know, it's a fabrication of something to lie about. So it's worse than normal. But I'll cover it another time. But I just thought this is just some fun. And again, just if you're sitting at home eating the leftovers of Christmas dinner, I hope this is just something that you can feel very satisfied about, because this is like the end of the hero's journey for you guys. You know, you've actually won. Trump has gone through the underworld. He has defeated the dragon, and now he's coming back with the rewards. For the press heading into a second Trump administration, there's a balancing act between being prepared and being fearful. If there's one thing the journalist should be, it's fearful, okay? The return to power of Trump. It was called Journalist's Enemies and talked about retribution against those who feel he feels has wronged him. Has news executives nervous?
They have 4 years of news now.
That's
why they said
their numbers are going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
But the point being is that they're like, okay, so we did everything in our power to ruin him. We 95% negative coverage. We made up a bunch of stories. When other people made up stories like the piss dossier, we publicized them. We wanted everyone to know that we hate this guy. We called him Hitler every day, and now he's in charge and he hates us. It's going to be rough. Good. I'm glad this is going to be rough for you. Right? You are scum, just in case you don't know. But perceived threats are numerous. Lawsuits of every sort, efforts to unmask anonymous sources, physical danger and intimidation, which of course you shouldn't do, and attacks on public media and libel protections, day-to-day demonization. Well, you did that to yourself, didn't you? You did that to yourself. You spent all your time demonizing everyone who disagreed with you, everyone who disagreed with the left-wing agenda, and now you're like, oh, people are demonizing us. Boo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No sympathy whatsoever. And they point out that George Stephanopoulos is just like, yeah, here's loads of money, Trump. And Bruce Brown, the executive director for the Reports Committee for the Freedom of the Press, says the news administration is heading to this next administration with it. The news media is heading to this next administration with its eyes open. Some challenges to the free press may be overt. Some may be more subtle. We need to be prepared and to remember that our most important audiences are the courts and the public. As if you've been serving the public until this point. But one prominent editor warned against going on war footing with an administration that hasn't taken office yet. Well, where was this in 2016? Like, you were on war footing from day one before Trump had taken office. But Steven Engelberg, the editor-in-chief of ProPublica, says, there may be a moment to cry wolf here, but I don't think we've reached it. Really? Well, that's interesting. Because again, it's like the last 8 years didn't happen. It's like we don't have a memory of everything up until this point. It's like, well, let's not cry wolf. It's like, you called him Hitler 10 minutes ago. Anyway, Trump at this press conference on Monday said, we need a fair media. We have to straighten out the press. Our press is very corrupt, almost as corrupt as our elections. The press is absolutely corrupt. I'd say way more corrupt than the elections, to be honest. So, yes, he's completely right. The media themselves, there has to be an accountability for this, right? They can't just get away with lying. They make up lies all the time about loads of people. I've been lied about. You know, loads of people have been lied about. Like, they can't just keep making up lies. They can't keep asserting this political agenda in the face of what is actually true. It has to stop, right? But the Washington Post editor says, it's apparent that the new administration will come after the press. I do think he'll use every tool in his toolbox, and there are a lot of tools. Well, you had this coming. Maybe if you weren't just implacable enemies of the choice of the American people, this wouldn't be happening to you. But you did, and it is, so you can cope. So Andras Pethos, an investigative journalist for Hungary, is like, well, it's going to be like Viktor Orban, as in Trump supporters will take control of the media and they won't hate him nonstop. And it's like, yep, that's going to suck for you. But he says that it's important for journalists not to portray themselves in any sort of resistance, because that just makes it easier for the government to dismiss them. Interesting, because that's all we've heard. I mean, they literally called themselves the resistance up until this point. And he says instead, even when they were in government, they called themselves the resistance. And he says that, look, instead you should just do the work. It's like, really, do some journalism, says one journalist. And the journalists in America are like, but we don't know what that means. Because all we do is take press releases from the government or from corporation and read them back like stenographers and say, well, there we go, there's the truth. And it's like, that's not the truth, that's the lie. Anyway, he says, to be honest, we all have to accept and admit that our power as media has declined. Our stories don't have the same impact that they had a decade ago. And that's true. The media has burned up all of their credibility, attacking Trump, and it failed. They lost, he won, they screwed themselves, and like he says, they should just do the work, which is a great, great position to begin new year in, I would say. You know, all of Trump's enemies humbled, Trump returning as the king to set the world to rights. Things are looking quite bright in America in 2025, I would say, which is superb. Have a great new year, folks.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And what you should be doing is using your new Lotus Eaters gift subscription, that new feature we've got on the site, to watch all of our premium content while you've got lots of downtime over the holidays. I hope you're having a nice time. Also, check out our Twitter where we post links to everything that we're putting out. Thank you very much for watching. Have a nice holiday and goodbye.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.